I'd like to begin by reading Matthew 13, starting in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing not, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. When reading this parable, I believe that we can be any of these types of ground throughout our Christian lives. I believe after talking to others that some years are different than others when it comes to being in the Word and growing. Around 4 years ago, I became a Christian and repented from a lifestyle that will always have effects on my mind and physical health. During this time, I only went to work and church and came home, and I was like a hermit. But also during this time, I threw myself into the scriptures. I would oftentimes have a goal to read at least 7 chapters before work every morning and 7 chapters at night. On days off, I would easily spend all day in the Word and read several books in a day. I could not get enough of the Word, and I not only was reading it, but implementing as much of it in my life as possible. I grew more and more as I continually read. Looking back on that time, it was some of the happiest times of my life. I had very little, but being in the Word and changing and growing was and is worth more to me than any of the things I have accumulated over the years. I also started setting goals for my normal day-to-day life, and I started working on these goals and reaching them one by one. Along the way, I became busier and busier, and I believe I am less successful at this moment than I was 4 years ago. Looking at my life and my accomplishments, and I've told other people this, they ask me, how could you say that? My answer is simple. The worldly things have taken my time and at times robbed me of that simplistic joy I had when I was an early Christian. My 14 chapters a day has dwindled to 2 chapters a day this year. And sometimes not every day. My attitude at times has suffered, and I find myself asking over and over again, what happened? How do I get back to where I was? And I believe that I won't be able to get back to where I was in a certain sense. I won't be able to go back to where I was because I am a different person now. I have grown from that person, some good, some bad, but nevertheless, I have changed from that person of 4 years ago. About 3 years ago, I started thinking more about my health and eating natural, and it led me to have an interest in gardening. I started trying to grow things 3 years ago. I tried different containers from ideas I had seen on the internet. And all of you green thumbs out there, don't judge me. But I just couldn't get anything to grow. I spent a ton of time and energy on it, and I was doing a number of things wrong. I wasn't fertilizing properly to start, and the containers would get too hot. They were too shallow. There wasn't a good enough root system in them. And this year, I planted a lot in the ground and fertilized properly and have had a relatively good year. This has caused me to want to learn how to preserve the fruit we get. In life, we want to preserve many things. As men, we want to preserve our name by having sons to carry on that name. We want to preserve our health, our youth, relationships with our friends and family. We want to preserve our lifestyles and have retirements and savings to do so. In the King James Version, the word preserve occurs 30 times in 29 verses. I would like to read some of those verses. Psalm 12:7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 16:1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 32:7. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Psalm 40:11. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalm 41:2. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Psalm 61:7. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Psalm 121:7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. This has also provoked thought in me on how to preserve growth. First, we need to have proper ground to grow before we can bear fruit to preserve. If you don't have the correct knowledge and truth about scriptures, your roots will be in trouble. First scripture that comes to mind is John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word is the most essential part of how we grow. It is a life-giving element to proper growth. Without it, we will wither and die like a plant without the proper nutrients and water. I believe that being in the word daily is the most important way to preserve growth. Also know that during my day-to-day life, my goals may have to be adjusted. Just being in the Word in some capacity during the day is better for me than neglecting it completely. I may not have 14 chapter days during this time, but I need to be in it daily. I should strive to be in the Word as much as possible and know that sometimes I may be in it less. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Next, I believe that we need to weed our lives just like we weed our gardens. The thorns and thistles of this world need to be plucked out of our lives before our growth is choked. Does this mean that we can't have a life outside of the Word and the church? No. But it does mean that we need to properly balance our lives so we can maintain spiritual growth as well as personal growth. If we fail to be honest with ourselves and don't weed out our issues, we can be more vulnerable to sin. Remember, even great men such as David sinned. I would like to read a few different scriptures about taking heed, which ties into what we are talking about with being honest and weeding out things in our lives. Hosea 4:10. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Luke 11:35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Romans 11:21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Also believe that when we first become Christians and are new to the world, we have extreme growth. Just like when we put a plant in fertile ground, it seems to grow at a very fast rate. When the plant comes to the end of its growing season, all that we have left from it is the fruit that we have preserved and the seeds to use again the next year. From the seeds, the plant continues to grow in a sense. Although we are not growing as fast as we were in the beginning, I do believe that we continue to grow in new ways that are just as important as the initial growth. We should do different things after we are grounded in the Word, spreading the seed in ways that we are effective at. In my case, I spend a lot of time at work and with people I get to know, trying to teach them what the Word says, what the church is and is not, what sin is and how we should live our lives. These are things that I did not do very much during the initial growth. And even though my reading plan is not the same, I actually have had to learn more about certain subjects than I would just reading through the scriptures in a year. Also, I have great joy talking about those subjects with the people I share with. Also, the way we live our life should attract people to what we have, or at least make them think, hey, that person is different. In the way we speak, act, do business, and conduct ourselves, we should do so with honesty and integrity. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 2:24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Psalm 25:21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. I had to go to a boot camp program when I was 15 years old, not by choice, but because of bad choices. And they had something in this boot camp program. When you first get there, you had to memorize this piece of paper. And how you memorize the piece of paper is you held the paper there at the position of attention for however long it took you to get it, all day, every day, until you could recite that piece of paper back to them word for word, not missing any words. And I still remember some of those things. I remember the whole piece of paper to this day. And I'd like to share with you some of those things from that piece of paper. They had something called the 20 leadership traits and the three I's. And the three The 20 leadership traits were integrity, knowledge, courage, decisiveness, dependability, initiative, tact, justice, enthusiasm, bearing, endurance, unselfishness, loyalty, judgment, discipline, cooperation, dedication, motivation, focus, and balance. I believe every one of these can be applied to how my Christian conduct should be. The three I's are especially my favorite. They were emphasized very much when I was there, and I believe that they are very simple explanations with very useful actions in our day-to-day lives. Integrity, do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Intensity, give 110% on everything you do. Intimacy, show care and concern for others. I believe this is how I should conduct myself as a Christian every day. But although I still remember these, the real point I want to make is that we should be in the Word. In talking about it so much and making a point to memorize it so much that it is always embedded in our minds. I memorized that piece of paper 18 years ago and still can recite it as if it were yesterday without having not looked at it one time in those 18 years. How much more should I be able to do that with the Scriptures? Many people will not take the time to read the Word or will let it fall by the wayside. Many people, as Nick said a few weeks ago, just see the Word as a big rule book. But it is actually our life and moral compass. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord God commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. I have come to the conclusion that to preserve growth is the same as when we are growing. To get rid of the things that are causing us not to grow, and to continue reading the Word and applying it. I said earlier that I didn't believe that I could ever get back to those beginning days, and I don't, because during those beginning days I was mentally changing at a rapid rate from wicked actions, thoughts, and views. At this point, I should be changed and grown into the man that God intends me to be, with no need to return to the days of before, except for being in the Word constantly. As far as being successful, what I meant by being successful is that although men personally measure their success on the things we accumulate and our worldly accomplishments, when I measure those things against my conversion and growth in the Lord, they are nothing. They can't bring joy, happiness, or any sense of morality to my life, and they definitely cannot give me eternal life. And honestly, if I need to, I have no problem giving those things up to have peace with God. I'm not saying that it is wrong to have possessions or goals, but take heed that they do not come between you and the Lord. Things that can affect our growth also are unforeseen problems in life. Death of loved ones, financial problems, family problems, etc. These are normal things that all affect us differently. Sometimes the best remedy for these problems is just talking them out with someone in the church. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I also believe that we can preserve our growth through not comparing ourselves to others. Sometimes we can get frustrated with the rate of growth compared to others or get focused on how others are not growing at the rate we believe they should be. This focus can get us entangled in our own selves and create a sense of self and pride that takes us away from our preservation and ever closer to falling back into temptation and sin. Other people's walks are between them and God. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Luke 17:33, Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In closing, we will offer the gospel invitation. If you are still in your sinful life and would like to lose that life and preserve your life eternally through being immersed, or if you have fallen by the wayside and need prayer and encouragement, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.